It's time now for the Interpulpit Radio Blast with missionary and pastor Rick Bell. Teaching truth from God's Word that you can use now and not just for the hereafter. And now, here's Rick with today's blast.
Jesus sent word to John the Baptist in prison, "Blessed is he who is not offended because of me." And this is a word to every one of us, because we've all been in situations like John the Baptist where we ended up in a place or situation that we didn't see work out the way we thought it should. Or maybe you're in a situation right now, or you're trusting God for something right now, and you're like, where is it? What's going on? And why don't I have this according to the word? And I've been talking about not being offended in such a situation, not being made to stumble, because it's the same meaning as offended there. Not being made to stumble, but to continue operating in faith. Only your faith is going to have to go further than just trusting for an answer, or further than just trusting the promises of the word. Your faith is going to have to step on those, continue to keep those, but to go even further and just trust in Jesus as your source of eternal life. You know, Jesus told them that you followed after me because your tummies were full and you wanted to receive those things, but I've come to give you everlasting life. And they didn't follow him for that. When he started to speak about eating of his flesh and drinking his blood, he started to lose a lot of people there. A, they didn't understand what was going on. B, they weren't spiritually discerning. And that's our problem. We're not spiritually discerning sometimes, and we get offended. We say, well, God, I'm done with this faith business. I just can't keep going like this. You know, how many times have I tried this and it didn't work? It's working, friends. It's just you need to walk by faith and not by sight. And you need to understand that it's not always what's in our hands or the answer given to us, but it's who do we have in us? Who is our God, our Savior, our Lord? Is he Lord, or is it our circumstances who are Lord? If we don't like our circumstances and we pull away from God or stumble, then we've made our circumstances Lord. I let you think about that for a second. Okay? So now, are your circumstances lording it over you? Or do you go further? Do you step over everything by faith and say, Jesus is my exceeding great reward? He is mine no matter what my circumstances suggest. His word is true no matter what my circumstances suggest. I have everything in him no matter what my circumstances suggest. And I am complete in him. I have a happy end according to his word no matter what my circumstances suggest. And I will get through and I will stand in the name of God. God wants us to be rooted and grounded in him, not in the things of this world or the situations that we're involved with, or to be so dominated by our problems. He wants us to be dominated by him and fellowship with him and worshiping him and to seeing him as Lord over all, not the circumstances. The circumstances are not Lord. He is Lord. And come what may with the circumstances, you're going to get over them. You're going to get past them and you're going to see that God is good. So why not just settle the issue right now and say it. God is good, and I don't care what the bad situation says. God is good. You're going to see it, friend. You're going to get through your trial. It comes to pass. It doesn't come to stay. Amen? So God is good. Just settle it now. And remember, Paul was in prison too. Paul was singing with Silas in prison. The doors opened up, and they still wouldn't leave. They were so engrossed with God. They were so loving the Lord that they were praising God in a filthy, stinking dungeon. Now, you and I don't know if we'd be that spiritual. And in our day and time, we have so many distractions and so many people are offended and we get offended too. It's the culture we live in. We think that everything is owned to us. We are entitled. This is a time of entitlement. Everybody thinks they're entitled to something, and that's why we get offended, because, oh, how dare it not come my way? And like I said, there are people who are upset because they're not politically correct. Somebody said something that wasn't politically correct, and I think we need to do something about it. I'm entitled to have a perfect atmosphere. I'm entitled to have my needs met. Well, the truth is, the Christian is entitled to so much more than we really even understand and know. But here's the other thing. We need to understand and know that we can enjoy it, spiritually speaking, to just understand that it's already ours. We already have everything, but you got to seek first the kingdom of God before it manifests. And it's got to be to the place where you're primarily saying, the Lord is what's important here, not whether I ever see it manifest or not. I'm a firm believer that it's going to manifest. But I'm saying we've got to get our priorities straight. In this day and time, we got to stop being gimme, gimme, gimme Christians, and we got to start giving, giving, giving as Christians. And I mean giving of everything that's in you, giving of your life for the cause of Christ. Whoa, brother, I don't know if this is a good message or not. You know, I was told that God's going to make my life easy. I was told that God's going to just bless me, bless me, bless me, and I'm blessed. Well, the word says you are blessed. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, you've got every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. But most people don't believe that because the minute things go wrong here on earth, they abandon ship. They say, well, you know, I tried that stuff and it didn't work. If you understood every spiritual blessing in heavenly places, you'd be able to withstand your ground. You wouldn't care what was coming your way because you know that that which is unseen is eternal and that which is seen is temporal. And you have a better investment in the eternal realm than anything you could have here on earth. And most people don't understand that and they don't see that because they're only looking by sight and not by faith. I just met a man, a Bulgarian man, whose father spent 15 years in jail in communist Bulgaria back in the day. And he was tortured and he was cruelly treated. They made him stand up. He couldn't do anything but stand up. He couldn't go to sleep. If he started to go to sleep, they'd prod him again. They'd poke him. They'd torture him. They'd do all these things. And he was about at his breaking point. And I heard that, you know, just when he was about ready to give in and deny Jesus as Lord, the power of the Holy Spirit came upon him. And he just said to his captors, nope, Jesus is Lord. He's not going to renounce his faith. And you know what? He wasn't offended. Blessed is he who is not offended because of me, Jesus said. And there was a blessing there, even though by all natural appearances, it looked anything but blessed. But that he was blessed because he wasn't offended. And you know, that's a hero of the faith. We have our heroes, don't we? We have our celebrities. We love this teacher and that teacher and think, whoa, they're great. Did you see how God has blessed them and all that stuff? Look at this guy. And there's many more like him. I mean, you could just go through a whole history and there's people right now like him who are suffering and being tortured and they will not renounce their faith in Jesus. Why? They understand that they have every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And they're not about to give that up for anything. They're not about to stumble and lose everything. Not that they lose their salvation, but they're not about to stumble and lose their grip on that eternal life that is even theirs in the midst of cruel tortures. Now, don't be afraid of cruel torture because I've talked to more than one pastor who has been in jail in China, and they say the Lord always was there to meet them, to hold them up, to strengthen them, to give them special grace. And may we never have to go through some of the things these heroes of the faith have gone through. But the point is, we ought to be so grounded in God's word to know that his word is true, whether we're seeing things that we understand or not before us. And there's so much before us that's confusing. It's of the devil. People are calling evil good and good evil. People are offended at the wrong things. They're offended at things that are good, and they're not offended at the things they should be offended at. And if we are grounded in our relationship with Jesus and we say, he is my all in all, we sing that sometimes. But if we really meant it, if we really make it, he is my all in all, it's not going to matter how things play out. Although the Bible promises that things will play out. The man I talked about who was cruelly tortured, he was delivered. It took 15 years, but he was actually delivered from that prison. He got away. I don't know how all that happened, but he actually escaped Bulgaria at that time, moved to Sweden, and was reunited with his family who thought he might have been, they didn't know what was going on, and there he was. So God brings us out of these situations if we'll let him, if we'll trust him, if we'll hope in him. But we don't give in and say, "What? This is the first thing that happened and now I'm offended." I mean, that's where it goes wrong and that's where you might lose the battle. You've got to stand your ground. Jesus talked about persecution like this and any persecution. It might not be that you're cruelly tortured or anything. You might just be getting snubbed at work or something. And is it worth it? Jesus said in Mark chapter 4, 16 and 17, talking about the seed which was sown on stony ground, that those who had the seed sown on stony ground, when they have heard the word, they immediately receive it with gladness. and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended, or they're made to stumble. And that just sounds like so many in the church today. They hear things, they're so happy, they love hearing the gospel, and that's a good word, preacher, and amen. But then they go and they live their lives, and they conform to the world, and it's just, church is great as long as the color of the carpet suits them, or church is great as long as you don't disrupt the order of the service or do something different. But the minute you do something different, I can't believe that, you know, people are offended at the wrong things. And then they go off and they live their lives like the rest of the world. Well, brother, I don't know why you're telling me all this stuff. This doesn't make me feel good. Actually, it'll make you feel better. If you can start to find your life fully in Jesus, you will feel better. You will not be moved. You will not be affected by the way things turn out. You will stand and you will have something in you that's greater that will give you cause to live and die. You won't care if you have to die for it. Whoa, that's pretty harsh. Well, you know, you can go through history and see the great heroes of the faith that gave their lives for the sake of the gospel. I don't believe you need to give your life through sickness. I don't believe you need to give your life through lack or poverty or things like that. I think there are blessings that are promised to us. We are entitled to them, but we can't hold this attitude of I'm entitled. We hold a gratitude that the Lord has entitled us, and we just worship Him, and we say, you are God, you are the Lord, and as long as I have you, everything is mine. But we don't have to give into this, I'm entitled to all this stuff, and there. Instead, we say, what can I give to you, Lord? I want to give my life to you. And as you give, you receive, because it's more blessed to give. And so what's worth living for? What's worth dying for? In the parable that I read with the stony ground, people were happy as long as they had heard something that made them happy, made them glad. But any little affliction or persecution that came, and immediately they are offended. They are made to stumble. The faith stops, there's the distraction, and it's over. Well, faith, or like I said, trials can be a distraction to make you stumble, to offend you, and to get you off track, or they can be your prods. They can prod you on, the goads that prod you on to this intimacy with God that I'm really pushing for here. Intimacy with the Lord. The Lord is the vine, not the vending machine. He's not the great Santa Claus in the sky. He is our Heavenly Father, which is in heaven, and His name is hallowed. And that is what's hallowed, not how well I'm doing, not how well you're doing, but that He is glorified. What is the end that we want to see in the church? What is the end that we want to see all the people come to? Why are we doing all this? Teaching people, edifying people, trying to get people saved, trying to get people healed. The end of it all is that whatever we do to the glory of God, that we glorify Jesus, that we say He is Lord, that every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, and that whatever we do it all for the glory of God. And if that's our lives, if that's the life of everybody in your church, you're going to see a difference. You're going to see people that are overcoming their trials and their situations, even when it seems their situations and trials are overcoming them. But they never ultimately overcome them. And they will, though, if you get offended. If you get offended and say, this faith stuff isn't working, then you're not looking to the unseen. You're not trusting or standing on the word. Listen, I've come to times when I said, I believe your word, Lord. I'm not seeing it happen right now, but if I go down dying, I believe this word is true. And I always get out. It always... You know, but I think the Lord wants us to get to this place, and maybe He's talking to you right now. Get to this place where you're satisfied and set in the spiritual realm, and you say, this word is true. I don't care what I experience at the moment. Nothing can convince me otherwise. God is true. Let God be true. Let everything else be a liar. I stand on this word, and it's the word that's going to dominate me, not the present situation. I will not be offended. I will not die but live and declare the works of the Lord.
You've been listening to Rick Bell, author of the Interpulpit blog. For more teachings and information on Rick's ministry, please visit interpulpit.com. Thank you for listening. Be blessed and rejoice. Jesus is coming soon, and He's even with you now.